Welcome to the Game of Thrones podcast, the officially unofficial podcast for Game of Thrones on HBO. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And we just got done watching Season 5, Episode 6, entitled Unbowed, Unbent, Unbroken. Unsurprising? No, I think there was a lot of surprising stuff in this. A lot of the plans that have been put into place in the last few episodes have started to reveal themselves.
Or wheels pop off and flip over and go burning into a ditch.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, the road to Meereen is getting curvier and curvier with every step, that sort of stuff. But yeah, I don't know where you want to start with this. I guess we can start where we usually do, which is what did you think overall?
I am bowed, I am bent, and I am broken. That last 15 minutes of the episode, really rough watch, man. And I guess I set myself up for failure because I had this, I think I talked about it on Unspoiler, but I went into depth in the spoiler section, that choker necklace that Sansa's been rocking, that had that big metal spike that she was conspicuously fingering the last few episodes.
You were watching that closely, this scene.
And I was thinking, well, I didn't see her wearing it in the dress. And I'm like, but I thought she was going to, you know, shank Ramsay.
Yeah.
And when she started fiddling with her sleeves of her dress, here comes the spike, baby. The North fucking remembers. And then, no, I punched in the gut, man. Punched in the fucking gut.
Yeah,
what'd you think?
I mean, in regards to that scene, I was wondering, when is Theon going to break out of the reek role?
That was another
take vengeance upon Ramsay here.
Check off psycho. Yeah. I thought he was going to snap and go into crazy mode. But before that...
But his hold is unbroken for now.
It really is. All he can do is whimper and cry. Before that, and I got a lot to say about this. I got a lot to say about this episode. Before that, I really was digging this episode. That stuff, like what they were doing with Jorah and Tyrion, I thought was... And the guy, I can't remember the...
Really? Okay, so tell me... There is a cock merchant as a profession within
First of
Westeros.
All, that was a hell of a line. I've laughed more at that than I have in a
it
long time.
It was funny, but I find it hard to believe
the
that there are enough
until
dwarves
we find a cock merchant
wandering around with cocks ready to be plucked
I thought
off.
You would love it. You are the man who coined the traveling cock farmer.
Traveling dick farmer,
Dick
yeah.
farmer. This is a traveling cock merchant. They're like sister
You're right.
professions.
You're right, they absolutely are. And
I guess they'd be brother professions, wouldn't it?
It was really funny, but... I can't imagine that there are that many cocks that need to be merchanted.
Well, you know, how many dwarves are there in the world?
They're probably not a lot.
You know.
Probably not a lot in this world. I don't know.
But I thought where Jorah finds out that his father was dead, like that was a really strong, subtle performance. There's a lot that the Tyrion Jorah roadshow is pretty entertaining so far.
We're getting geared up for the 6th annual Summer Badass Fest. And while we're working on a slate of apex badass films to enjoy, we've got an early action-packed announcement to make.
Just like last year, we're kicking off Badass Season with a live movie watch and podcast recording. We've rented out a theater for connoisseurs of action films and Bald Move fans that just want to have a great time.
Unlike last year, this year's movie is top secret. Hush, hush. No hints. Except, it's incredibly badass. It stars an absolute icon of the genre. We're willing to bet most of you haven't seen it, and it's going to be an incredible viewing experience with a packed house of Bald Movers.
Those of you who came to last year's screening of Total Recall know what a party it was. And those of you who didn't, now's your chance to experience it. Meet me and Jim, order some custom movie-themed drinks at the theater's full bar, then watch us record the full podcast for the movie. We reserved a venue over twice the size as last year, but seating is still limited.
It's happening Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. in our hometown of Cincinnati. Get full details and buy tickets at baldmove.com/live.
Cincinnati's actually a pretty great city to visit, and we've got lots of details for side adventures on our event page as well. The Reds are playing the Boston Red Sox in their fantastic Riverside Stadium. The thrills of Kings Island just minutes away, and I'll be leading a kayak trip down the scenic Little Miami River on Saturday.
Again, get full details and get your tickets now on our Badass Fest 6 page at baldmove.com/live.
Yeah.
I liked everything with Bronn and Jamie, and then they got to the water gardens with the sand snakes, and I'm like, what the fuck? But to be fair, the kind of, I guess, mirror of it in the books is kind of bullshit, too.
Okay.
I'm just going to say Dark Star and move on. All you book readers all are right. Like, oh, yeah, that's kind of shitty.
So all us non-book readers are like, oh, yeah, it's like, we don't have any idea.
Stuff is kind of coming into Crystal, and I still don't know exactly how they're going to adapt this, but... You know, that's an ongoing thing in the book, so I have no fucking clue what they're doing. I just thought, it's like, wow, they're really going to make this, that Jaime and Bronn arrive at the exact same point that the sand snakes decided to go unbent, unbowed, unbroken. And also, after we had the scene of Prince Doran saying, hey, we got to keep an eye on this stuff, that the household guards is going to let... all this fisticuffs and blades and spears and whips go around for several minutes around the princess and the prince.
See, I was under the impression that he was gathering the guard. Like, gathering up all... Like, there were 50 dudes there. It took a while to gather all those dudes within sight of Doran's
gout balcony, man.
Yeah, but how long do you think it take to rally 50 guys? I mean, it's gonna take a while.
I'm just saying, I just got done with the speech of this guy being like, yeah, I'm ready with my axe. And, it, you know, like I said, I don't want to harp too much on it because it's a small scene and whatever. They need to do something to get that plot going, and they can't make it more hackneyed than I think that situation kind of is, but I was really disappointed that with, you know, all the remixing powers they had, that's that monument. You know, my bugaboo is monumental, preposterous coincidence.
Sure.
And that was on display. I really enjoyed seeing Cersei, step into her own minefield of her own construction. I'm enjoying seeing that thing kind of spin out of control.
Did she? I'm not certain that she isn't in control of that situation and wanted this to happen.
No, I think you're right, but I think she... I think that as soon as the Queen of Thorns showed up and like, look, I know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Do you suddenly not need my gold, my wheat, and my troops? And Cersei looked like she doesn't really have an answer to that. She really doesn't.
Sure, no, she needs it.
I mean...
She does need it.
What does she think if it's kind of like, I want to turn the Tyrion trick on you. Let's say all your fantasies come true. Let's say that presumably Margaery gets scullied off and her brother. And let's say you even take the Queen of Thorns, Lady Olenna, and you throw them all away in a dungeon or you behead them or whatever. Do you think the Highgarden, whoever takes over, is just going to let that happen? And what's the relative strength of the Lannisters at this point to the Tyrells? Like, she's just an idiot, and it's entertaining to watch her and, you know, her idiot, well, he's not an idiot. He's a sweet boy, but he's not ready for anything that's happening. Tommen?
Oh, yeah.
No. Yeah. Once again, you should unleash the Kingsguard. If the Kingsguard can't keep the queen from being taken off by a bunch of dudes in robes and hammers, then what the hell do they have that white crusted enamel for?
I think
shiny swords.
That's got to be what they're setting up. I feel like what's going to happen here is Cersei's trying to set up a scenario in which they are indebted to her.
Yeah.
Like Margaery maybe is, I don't know, marginalized or taken out of the picture somehow.
Yeah.
I don't know, either by killing or being imprisoned, and then Lady Olenna has to come to her for like help reclaiming her family from the Sparrows, the Faith Militant.
It's all mildly interesting. That would be a delicious possibility.
Yeah, I don't know if I give Cersei that much credit to be able to actually think up a plan like that.
Sure.
But so far, her plan has worked as I think she intended. So.
But I wonder what Tyrion would say. Like, yes, sure. It's working. No,
Littlefinger doesn't think it's a good idea, right?
Yeah.
Like, Littlefinger's pointing out flaws and stuff, so...
I thought Littlefinger was pretty interesting, too.
This is super interesting, because... So, in this episode, we're supposed to believe that Littlefinger is lying to Sansa, right? About him loving her, and, like,
know.
It's all gonna be okay, and that kind of stuff.
I don't know.
I feel like it is because, you know, he wants to be Warden of the North. He wants shit to go horribly wrong at Winterfell and then come and clean up. I don't feel like he's he's made basically a promise to Cersei to get Sansa's head on a platter or a spike or however he can bring it back.
Right.
I wonder if there isn't some other layer here, because there have already been so many layers. I could imagine another one.
Well, again, all this is far in advance of the books, but I gotta say, he's already Warden of the West, de facto. If he becomes Warden of the North, he is arguably the most powerful. Like, you've just shifted the point of power from Winterfell, or from King's Landing to Winterfell.
Yeah.
And, you know, Cersei might want Sansa's head on a spike. But what's she going to do about it?
Sure.
You know, she doesn't even have it. I don't even think it's... I think that was one of the interesting possibilities, too, is that I think we're led to openly question whether she even commands the Lannister forces at this point.
Okay.
You know, if she said... If Cersei sent an official raven to Kevin Lannister at Casterly Rock that says, muster up our forces, march on Winterfell in the middle of winter, does Kevin answer the call?
That's a really good question. Yeah. It's one that I don't know that I have enough information to answer yet. Well, because it's so up in the air, right?
Right.
He stormed off last time he was there.
Sure.
Basically saying, you're a fucking fool.
Yes.
He doesn't respect Cersei. I don't know if he just takes an order.
It's certainly, especially when you know how smart, like, especially when you know, I think that they've done a really good job of revealing that he's a man of honor, integrity, and intelligence and capability with very, very small screen time. Mm-hmm. But no, I get the opinion that I don't know what he would do in that circumstance, but probably not exactly what Cersei would want him to do.
Yeah, I feel like that's, you know, that's Littlefinger's goal. He's moving power around and trying to consolidate it a little bit. But I feel like the one thing he's not taking into account is Dany.
Yeah. Well, and no one is.
I know. No one really is.
No one in Westeros gives a damn about White Walkers or Black Dragons. And,
sure.
You know, that is, as it is in the books, as it is in the television show, that is an interesting thing to watch as a, you know, your omniscient reader.
That would be me in Westeros. What? White Walker? What are you talking? That's stupid. Stupid magic. Get out of here.
Do you have corn and bread? I could use some of that.
dragons haven't been around for thousands. Get out of here.
Can dragons bake bread? Because I would be interested in that.
But that's the thing, right? Nobody's paying attention to that. And if he's trying to consolidate power and forces are being whittled away at every turn in Westeros, then when Dany finally comes around, if she ever does, things could go badly for Littlefinger. You know, despite, like, he might think he has a good seat of power there, but he may not have what he needs to defend against Dany when she comes in.
Here are the highlights coming up this week on Bald Move.
We've got lots of ongoing coverage this week, from book versus show comparisons for Hot D to the latest very special episode of Why Is Mr. Feeny a Car? But there are a couple of main events this week you need to know about.
Firstly, we've got a brand new commission podcast out this Tuesday covering The Raid 2, sometimes subtitled Retaliation. If you're a fan of martial arts films, this is one you don't want to miss. Iko Uwe is a rising star in the action movie world, and it's easy to see why. Join us on Tuesday as we dive into the bigger, badder sequel to The Raid, try and figure out which is better.
Then on Thursday, we're covering the season finale of Hulu's excellent period drama, Shogun. We've been waiting all season to see what Toranaga Sama's plan is, or if he even has one. It all comes down to this, and we couldn't be more excited. Join us on Thursday for what's sure to be an epic Shogun season finale podcast, and to find out if we plan to cover any related materials.
You find these and many other great podcasts by searching for Bald Move Pulp or Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app.
We're about 10 weeks out from House of the Dragon Season 2, and it's time to prepare for war.
Which in our case means, well, watching a lot of Hot D and reading a lot of Fire and Blood.
Each week between now and June 16th, Maester Anthony and his co-host Steve are hosting a watch of each episode of Hot D Season 1. And then me and Jim are going to host a discussion of the differences between the events on that episode and how they're recounted in George R.R. Martin's historical tome, Fire and Blood.
That's right. I've resorted to reading dragon books. God help us all. We'll see if my fresh eyes add any new insights or predictions into season two.
Arm yourselves with all the lore you can for the battles ahead. House of the Dragon returns June 16th, but we've got you covered until then.
Check out all of our upcoming Hot D coverage on the Hot D feed or on Bald Move Pulp, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
I felt pretty smart talking about all of this possibility of Dany being insane and whether she's good or bad, and then
it's validated by Tyrion. Yeah.
Tyrion has a monologue. Well, it's not a monologue. It's a monologue delivered to a silent man about that very same thing, and I thought that was pretty good. Before we get to the Sansa stuff, I want to talk about her sister, Arya.
Okay.
And I think they did a lot of really interesting kind of black and white comparisons of them. For example, Arya was washing a woman's hair. And I noticed it's this is where I haven't really dug into the symbolism, but she was washing this woman's hair and wringing it and the water was clean versus Miranda washing Sansa's hair. And of course, it was coming out filthy, dirty, almost maybe
it's all
bloody
that black
looking.
Dye she put in it.
Yeah. I thought that was interesting to compare and contrast the sisters and like agency versus lack of agency.
Okay.
What did you think of the reveal of the Faceless Men's lair?
Nightmare fuel.
Pretty cool.
That shit is creepy.
Pretty fucking cool, right?
It was pretty cool. And you know, it should have made sense. I should have connected those dots earlier, I guess. Given the way that
their name of their organization's a lie. It's the last thing they are, the Faceless Men.
But I'm not certain that it is, though, because he seems to make a distinction between being a nobody and being someone else to Arya. So I'm not totally certain that the Faceless Men are exactly what Arya has become at this point.
Or even that the Faceless Men are what Arya thinks they are.
Sure.
So something that kind of took me aback, and I wonder, as a non-book reader, if you had a similar reaction. I thought Jacqen was going to be fucking pissed that she essentially coerced that little girl into taking the gift.
I did too, yeah.
I thought he's going to come in there and be wroth with her and be like, you can't do that. You know, this has got to be something that's taken freely. You can't just force water down her throat. But that was like a test that she passed. And then I thought maybe that was going to be the girl in disguise, and her father's going to be Jack in disguise, and it was going to be like, get out, you know, another go kill a pigeon. Time to kill a pigeon.
I'm so glad they didn't give us the runaround again, because that shit. I'm super glad that they actually revealed a little bit, like some factual information about this place, because it was so shrouded in enigma and mystery that
you felt
it
like
was
the
useless.
Show was whipping you on the shoulder. Like, yeah. But what is going on?
It was just completely useless.
Yeah.
Until they actually revealed, okay, here's what's
going on. I'm still kind of not cool about, because that doesn't jibe with what, I mean, you know, it's a show, so they're changing it, but that doesn't jibe with what I thought the ethos of the, you know, the nameless god, the god of death. I didn't think that kind of went with that ethos, you know, that you can essentially lie to someone. Now, it was an interesting kind of perversion of the game that they were playing. That it's essentially Arya was lying to this girl in a convincing manner.
Yeah, I felt like that you know, the game of faces or whatever it was called was for that purpose. Like, get better at lying. Like, and maybe not lie to the Faceless Man.
Uh-huh.
Like, lie to other people.
And that's the other thing is Jacken's really good at detecting lies.
Yeah, I don't even know how he does that.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't know if it's something that you can actually, it's a hone, or if it's like a quasi-magical thing, or if there's a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B, or
yeah,
I that stuff is all kind of TBD, to be determined. What else do we want to say about Arya before we move to Sansa?
Nothing.
So, the Sansa stuff. Mm-hmm. Man, when she was walking up to get married,
did you think she was going to do it?
I kind of figured yes, but I was secretly praying, like, pull a Catelyn, call all your father's loyal bannermen, and put an end to this. Like, who besides Ramsay Roose and Fat Walda Frey is going to stop if you're like, I'm Sansa Stark, god damn it, you all hate this man, put steel to him. But no, she meekly kind of went along with that. She did show some steel in dealing with Miranda.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like I'm sounding downer on this episode than I am. I thought the stuff in Dorne was a hot mess. I like the fact that Myrcella is got abandoned the Pink Nightmare and she looks quite lovely in the Dornish yellow. But that was all hackneyed kind of bullshit. Everything else I thought was really good. It's just this was a tough thing to watch. And
sure,
I was having discussion with some spoiler friends on the spoiler show, and one of the things I said, I think we were kind of all agree, is we're over Sansa being the victim, and God damn it, she's the victim again, and I don't know how much of this the show can peddle and it go down. I mean, it's not entertaining, and it's not supposed to be. I mean, neither was Ned getting beheaded, neither was Rob getting killed, and his wife getting the... Her stomach stabbed and her throat slit. It was all horrific, and this is horrific in a similar vein.
Yeah.
But when is Sansa going to fight for her family? Like, where does she go from here?
I feel like she will do it soon. I think Littlefinger, you know, before he left, he talked to her and he said, "Yeah, you're gonna have to endure some stuff here." Until basically the time is right.
Littlefinger's ice cold motherfucker.
He is.
Although I've gone back and forth in my head about whether I believe Littlefinger saying, "I don't know anything about you, Ramsay." That seems like bullshit. I know we discussed it and we kind of thought it was bullshit, but if he knew that he was putting Sansa in that kind of harm, then that completely recontextualizes how I feel that he feels about her.
Yeah,
I mean, I suspected he saw her as something that is reflecting his own vanity and ego. But even from that standpoint, like, if he just loves her as his prized possession, you don't loan your prized possession out to somebody to have them treated that way.
Sure.
Like,
why I say there's another layer to what Littlefinger's doing. I can't see him just like abandoning Sansa up there for no real reason.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, like. He left her there on purpose. He told Cersei that, you know, he discovered her there. He could have brought her back to King's Landing and delivered her on a platter.
Yeah.
And said, "Make me Warden of the North. Look what I just brought you."
Yeah.
He didn't do that. Now, it's a insurance policy of sorts as well, if you want to look at it from that angle.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know what the purpose of leaving Sansa there would be if there wasn't another wrinkle to be pressed out here.
No, I mean, my gut says that your analysis of the situation of how he's going to use this to his own political advantage is right on. It's just like, you know, where's the bottom to Littlefinger? Like, where do you hit his moral bottom?
Yeah. Yeah. I really feel like Sansa is it, man. I really do. Like, I feel like the stuff he's saying about Catelyn, and by extension Sansa, is honest.
Well, all I got to say is Cat dodged a bullet then, because that guy is a monster.
Sure.
I mean, there's a lot of terrible, terrible people in this show, but he is kind of like quietly out of nowhere building like a top five, maybe even solid top three spot for most despicable.
Well, but you also have to wonder if Littlefinger, you know, was married to Catelyn, if she ever would have had the problem she had with... getting killed at the Red Wedding, all that kind of stuff.
Well, and you also...
he could have figured a way out of that, I'm sure.
Well, and also, if his life turned out differently, maybe he wasn't such a terrible guy.
But. Yeah, maybe he's not running the brothels. He's doing something else.
Hey, it's time for another season of Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? The premise is simple. A Gen Xer and a millennial watch old 80s action TV to see what still works and what doesn't. In previous seasons, we've done podcasts for Knight Rider, Airwolf, MacGyver, A-Team, and more. However, this year we're doing a very special season of Feeny. We're going back and reviewing the very special episodes of 80s and 90s sitcoms. Come cringe along with us as Hollywood tries to warn our families of the dangers of underage smoking, drug abuse, alcoholism, eating disorders, and much more. We start out with the episode of Boy Meets World where a high school kid gets sucked into a cult. Worlds collide as the Mr. Feeny finally makes an appearance on Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? Join me and my buddy Jay each week for episodes full of nostalgia and secondhand embarrassment. And don't worry, if Very Special isn't your speed, we've also got some all-time classic Knight Rider episodes to close the season with. Find Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? Each Wednesday on Bald Move Pulp, starting April 3rd.
FX is adapting James Clavell's best-selling novel, Shogun, into a 10-part miniseries this spring. Set in the shogunate period of Japan at the turn of the 15th century, Shogun depicts the rise of a feudal lord to Shogun, as seen through the eyes of a shipwrecked English sailor. It's loosely based on the real-life exploits of William Adams and Tokugawa Ieyasu.
Shogun has already been successfully adapted back in 1980 with a widely acclaimed miniseries starring Richard Chamberlain, featuring intricate plots, political scheming, complex characters, and thrilling action. This time, husband and wife team Justin Marks and Rachel Kondo try to recapture the successes of the novel and early adaptations while increasing the levels of historical and cultural accuracy that are often perceived as flaws of this and similar works.
Starring Hiroyuki Sanada from The Last Samurai, Mortal Kombat, and John Wick 4, with Cosmo Jarvis of Peaky Blinders, Raised by Wolves, etc., joining the truly massive cast required to bring this complex world to life. Join Aaron and I each week as we deep dive into each episode, uncovering the mysteries, the intrigue, and the glory of Shogun.
Shogun premieres on FX Hulu Tuesday, February 27th, with a two-part debut. Our podcast will release each Thursday thereafter. Get our Shogun coverage by searching for Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app. What else do we want to talk about? Like I said, I feel like I'm bagging on this episode. I really liked a lot of it. It's just, you know, the stuff, even the stuff I liked was really tough to watch, and it was far from what I expected. I really thought that they were going to do... I don't know. Knowing Ramsay the way we do, I should have seen this coming, but I really
sure,
thought
it's
that
a return
the show
to form.
That would the show would kind of find a way to not do that.
I am a little surprised that it was so instant.
Yeah, also I was getting married. Did you think the marriage was going to happen this episode?
No. I assumed that it would happen maybe a couple episodes from now.
I was thinking this is like a episode 8 plot, which would make, you know, that's the other thing. If I thought it was going to happen this episode, I would have known better than to think that, oh, well, she's going to go all the North remembers and spiky spike, stabby stab, because then you got four episodes of what the hell, chaos, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
If you put it at the end, then they can, you know, kind of put that stuff in pause and maybe let some of the repercussions fly next. And it also would work good as, you know, like one of the many kind of cliffhanger crescendos of this. See, but throwing it in the middle, man, it's like I said, it's just bleak. I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to feel when we go back to Winterfell from this point. Like, what is Sansa going to do? What's Theon going to do? How's Ramsay going to behave? What's Roose going to make of this?
I think Sansa's just going to wait. Sansa's going to wait for Stannis to get there and see what happens, like Littlefinger said.
I don't, man. You know? I think that's horseshit.
I think that's exactly what's going to happen.
That Sansa, fuck. Then Sansa hasn't changed a bit since season one, and that's really disappointing. Really disappointing.
I think prepare to be disappointed. Then,
well,
it feels like
I should have been this
happen.
Episode because, man, I really dropped my guard, and the double D's clocked me right on the gin.
Okay. Well, that's it. That's all we got to say about that.
All right, Forrest.
If people want to get some feedback to us before the full cast, how do they do that?
Game of Thrones at baldmove.com. I'm sure there'll be lots of people with lots of stuff to say, and we'll look forward to it. You can also discuss on the forums at forums.baldmove.com, and what's cool about that, as I say every week, it's divided into spoilers, non-spoilers.
Oh, it is?
It is.
That's neat.
It is. There's I see a lot of weakness on the non-spoiler thread. They're like, look at the spoiler thread. It's like four times bigger than this. I want to peek. Don't peek.
Don't
peek.
Don't do it.
It's not what you think it is.
Nope.
Nothing good happened in that thread.
No, that's, I mean, there's just a wall of faces behind
it's
that door.
It's just, and there's just nothing but little fingers plotting and scheming and skullduggery. it's a bad scene. Stay away.
Yep.
Stay away. Read the books if you're going to sway yourself. So, and then, yeah, you can always follow releases on facebook.com/baldmove and Twitter @baldmove. And of course at baldmove.com.
Yeah, that's it.
Can't wait to see what people think about it, because episode like that, I feel like people are going to spill a lot of ink.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to a second watch.
And figuring this out. I tell you what, when I saw the previously on, I was like, oh my God, buckle in. This is like a 5-minute extravaganza.
There was a lot of like previously on.
Like,
yeah.
Get ready. Mm-hmm. We're going to do some deep cuts. So it... A good bounce back to form after some kind of down episodes.
Indeed.
Nice to see the pieces moving about the board again.
Yeah. yeah, some movement. That came in real handy, just when I needed it. All right, thanks everybody for listening. We'll be back on Tuesday with the full cast. And until then, I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron. See ya.